Thanks for joining us on this week's Real Life Church podcast. We'd love to know if God is using this ministry to bless you in some way. And if you'd like to share your story or know more about getting involved at Real Life Church, you can visit us on our website at livereallife.com today.
Well, we're going to take a field trip today, and we're going to go on a journey with Jesus and the disciples, and we're going to go to a place called Caesarea Philippi. He actually took the disciples on this trip to Caesarea Philippi. It's one of the places that he would take them. And in Matthew chapter 16, it's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And it says this in verse 13. I didn't realize I just did the McDonald's rap. Praise the Lord. Boy, I should make one up for Chick-fil-A. Don't you think so? Open up on Sunday. Open up on Sunday. What? Sorry. Okay. All right. For all the guests, I'm really on some caffeine. Praise the Lord. Verse 13 says this, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? So he asked them a question, and I'm going to show you what Caesarea Philippi really is. And he says, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? So they answered, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Verse 15 says, but what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, so again, he takes it from a big perspective down to a personal perspective that says, who do you say that I am? It's a question that all of us in this room are going to have to wrestle with. We're going to have to wrestle with the question, who do men or who do you personally say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, the title of the series is This Is My Church. And I'm not just talking about the perspective of my church, like our church. I'm talking from the perspective of this is Jesus's church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, the context behind this passage in Matthew chapter 16, I really believe this is a moment that the disciples will never forget. They will never forget this moment and this field trip with Jesus. They were going to this place called Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi was the furthest north that Jesus would walk in his ministry. And he would go up and he would be 25 miles north of where he did the majority of his ministry, which was in Galilee. And he did most of his ministry in Galilee, but he took these guys 25 north. And so disciples, they had never been there before. And literally, Caesarea Philippi was considered the sin city of their day. And so basically, what happens in Caesarea Philippi stays, you know the motto of Caesarea Philippi. Look at you people. That's the motto of Caesarea Philippi. Whatever happens in Caesarea Philippi stays in Caesarea Philippi. Now, you have to understand that Caesarea Philippi was a Roman-controlled city. And Jesus was taking his disciples to this place, 25 miles north of where he did majority of his ministry. And what was so interesting about Caesarea Philippi, based on the context of Matthew 16, was that there was temples there that of other gods. So there was 20 different temples of other gods in this region called Caesarea Philippi. People worshiped other gods. And I'm going to show you a picture in just a minute of what this looked like back when Jesus would walk the earth. And so Jesus, honestly, the Jewish followers of Jesus during that time were really surprised that a rabbi was going to take them to Caesarea Philippi. They had heard about Caesarea Philippi, but as they go to Caesarea Philippi, he asked them a couple questions. Who do people say that I am? And again, he's standing in this place called Caesarea Philippi in the middle of 20 pagan temples of worship of other gods. And he's the Messiah. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and he's standing there in the middle of this context, and he starts to go like, who does everybody say that I am? Who do these people say that I am? And they go on to say, you know, John the Baptist, Elijah, some say you're a prophet. But in this same moment, he says to them, who do you say that I am? How many know it's one thing to say what everybody else does about Jesus, But the question has to become, what do you say about Jesus? Right? And so as we're thinking through this in conversation in Matthew 16, it's really multifaceted in nature. This passage is so fascinating. There are different perspectives within this context to consider about Matthew chapter 16. And the first concept's really simple. Maybe some of you might think as you read Matthew 16, he said, I'll build my church on the rock. Now, we know Peter had a revelation of who Jesus was. He was first Simon. Then he became Peter. Some people think, well, the rock was Peter. Peter means rock now, right? He goes from Simon, which is a reed blowing in the wind is what Simon meant. And Simon, that was his name, but then he has the revelation of who Jesus is. I really believe that in this moment, what God was saying and trying to communicate to us in this story is that Simon represented his past. His name was his past, but then all of a sudden he had a revelation of who Jesus was. He experienced who Jesus was in that moment, and now he had a whole new future, is why his name was changed to Peter. Now, the word Peter doesn't mean rock. It means a piece of the rock. It means a piece of the bigger rock. And so in this moment, there's this perspective that begins to take place. The greater truth is that Jesus is the rock. Come on, somebody. And I believe that what God is doing with his church is he's building a church again on the rock. We're not building it upon man's philosophies and man's ideologies. We're not building it upon denominations and building it on our theologies. We're building it back on Jesus. I really believe that if Jesus would be lifted up, all men would be drawn to Jesus, because Jesus is the point. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the hope. And how many of you know that Jesus is the rock? He's the one that you can put your feet on. When all else is sinking sand, you can put your feet on Jesus. So Jesus is the rock. He was giving them this picture, and he said, I'm going to build my church on the rock, or the rock of the revelation of who Jesus is. On the rock, I will build my church. Well, let me define church for you. Church is not a building or a facility. We're not building a church. That's just a tool. It's just a building. It's not a building. The church is not a building and a facility. Because here's what happens when you think that. You think you go to church instead of being the church. Church is not a denomination or a doctrine or a creed or a set of beliefs. It is not a weekend service or a weekend experience or a set of services. That is what the church is not. But in our country and in our nation, and maybe in your mindset today, you thought that's what the church was. You thought it was a facility. You thought it was a building. You thought it was a denomination or doctrine, or you thought it was a set of beliefs. Listen to me today. The church is none of that. What Jesus said he was building has nothing to do with brick and mortar. The word church is actually the word ecclesia. It's the word ek, say ek. It means out of, and kleo, say kleo. It means to call. In other words, called out ones. Now, this word church is the word ecclesia, and they understood back in the day what this word meant. Literally means it was a group of people, and this word is also found in the Old Testament, but it's found over 500 times in the New Testament. This word is a government word, actually, that people would understand in the day. The word church is a group of people that's been called out to govern the earth. And what they would do, they would be selected and they would be put together, and they would be called out from their community to make decisions, right? They would make military decisions. They would make community decisions. And this was a group of people that was called out from the public or from the world in order to make decisions and to govern the day. Well, here's what Jesus was trying to communicate, that I'm going to build the ones that I call out from darkness and into my marvelous light, and that's my church. Here's the church. The church is this: a group of people called out by the authority of God, assembled to hear the vision of God, gathered to receive direction from God. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. that you may proclaim. Listen to that. It's not just I go to church. He said, but that when you understand that you're a chosen generation and that you are a royal priesthood, that you've been called out of something, he says, who that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You know, last week, let me just celebrate for a minute. We had our largest Easter. 561 people came to Easter last week. Come on, somebody. Hold on. But 17 people said yes to Christ. That's the bigger number. Come on, there's 17 people not going to hell anymore. That's 17 people that came out of darkness and into the marvelous light. They experienced the resurrection of Jesus last week. And he says that you were called out. That's the church. The church is a group of people that's been called out of darkness and into his light. Caesarea Philippi. The cultural perspective around Caesarea Philippi was known for having a huge rock. This is where you get the picture. He said, on this rock, that he's bringing context. And he says, in Caesarea Philippi is known for having a huge rock in the middle of the city. So show me my first picture really quick. This is what it would have looked like. So there's a huge rock surrounding Caesarea Philippi. This was Caesarea Philippi, and there was temples of worship that was dug into the side of this rock. Now, modern day, if you go over to modern day, what Caesarea Philippi like, there's still some ruins there of what those temples would look like back then in Caesarea Philippi. And this is the context and the picture that Jesus is saying, I will build my church. He's saying, I will build my church. Why was he communicating that in such a crazy place? Why would he communicate that in Caesarea Philippi, where they're worshiping other gods? There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of brokenness in the lives of these people. Why would Jesus communicate, I'm going to build my church in the middle of this? I'm going to call out ones from this location. I'm going to call out those that are in Caesarea Philippi, and I'm going to build my church. And here's what I really believe Jesus was communicating. I'm going to give you three things about the church this morning on the rock. If you're truly founded on the rock, these are some understandings that you have to have. Number one is the church is for everyone. I really believe that. I really believe that. You're like, well, Pastor, like, you accept everybody? I sure do. I accept everybody. You're like, well, you're kind of treading on fair ground there. No, I accept everybody. Jesus accepts everybody. But listen, the nice thing about it is Jesus accepts you who you are, but he doesn't keep you who you are. Come on, somebody. You come in one way and leave another way. I was watching the other day. I was at the Kroger. Man, these places get crazy. We got solar eclipse happen, man, all kinds of crazy. I couldn't get gas. I mean, this is crazy. Let's just get this together, folks. We're shutting the world down. Praise the Lord. I know we won't see it ever again, but praise the Lord. I hope we see it. I hope it's not cloudy tomorrow and ruins everybody's day, like them tornadoes and all that stuff. Praise the Lord. Oh, shut the world down. It's going to be crazy. I got 3 drops of rain. Y'all know better than that. Believe in weathermen as if they know something. The point is, yeah, prayer. Thank you, Linda. That's right. We prayed against that craziness. Amen. But I don't know, I lost my train of thought. I'm back. Church is for everyone. God is not going to leave you like he found you. He's going to transform your life. And so the church is for everyone. And when he was in this location, I really felt like that he was surrounded by people that were filled with pain and brokenness. When he was in Caesarea Philippi, he wasn't in Galilee. He wasn't standing among a religious temple where they would come and pray. No, he was standing among temples of another god. And the church, listen, is a place where people can believe. The church is a place where people can belong. The church is a place, is it become all that God has called them to be. And I'm not talking about a location. I'm talking about you as the church. When people get around you, they need to be able to belong before they believe. Come on, somebody. They need to be able to belong before they believe. And the church is for everyone. If we really believe that, if we really think about that, that the church is a perfect place for imperfect people. Look at your neighbor and say, you're messed up. Look at your other neighbor and say, you're really messed up. This is a place for imperfect people. It's a place where things might go wrong and people come in from all different backgrounds and people come in from different journeys. But listen, that's the body of Christ. That's who Jesus is trying to reach. He's trying to reach people from every nation and every tribe and every tongue. That's who Jesus came to save at all. He said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. And so the church is for everyone. He said in this moment, Caesarea Philippi, he said, look around. They would have seen temple prostitution going on. They would have seen child sacrifice. They would have seen filthy things happening in Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus said, I'll build my church right in the middle of this. He was trying to communicate something of value of people in this moment. He was trying to tell them, I took you to a place where you can start to develop a heart for people in this moment, because one day you're going to have to carry this gospel. And Jesus was building his church right in the middle of this. He's trying to communicate something. That everyone matters to him. And the church is for everyone. I really believe that God is building his church in our region. I really believe that God is calling people out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I really believe that there are stories. Man, I wish I could tell you some of the stories coming out of Easter. Hopefully, at some point I can tell you. But man, there's freedom happening. There's families being restored. There's people saying yes to Christ. There's people that are leaving and going home and getting saved in the driveway. Come on, somebody. Come on, man, like stories coming in of what God's doing in people's lives. He said, I'll build my church, and I really believe that God is building his church for everyone in this region. And listen, I really believe this. I believe the church still stands in broken places. I believe the church is the hope of the world. I believe that God is raising up his church for everyone. I believe God is going to look at the harvest and say, oh, I'm not just selecting a few. Oh, no, I died for everybody. So everybody come in. And so the church is for everyone. Why do we exist as a church? Three things. We want people that come through the doors to know God. We want everybody in this place to know God, and I'm going to take this through this series this month. We want you to know God, we want you to find community, and we want you to make a difference. That's what God has for everyone within the sound of my voice today, is that the church is for everyone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22 puts it this way. You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. Listen to what he says. You're no longer wandering exiles. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here. It doesn't matter how we got here. It doesn't matter our journey. He says, you're no longer wondering. He says, he used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Listen to this. Now he's using you. Fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds everything together. He says he's using you. You belong here. The church is for everyone. The second thing we have to understand about Church on the Rock is number two is the church is called to go. The church is not called to sit. The church is not called just to come to church on a Sunday. The church is called to go. When Jesus said go, he never told us to stop in the New Testament. How many know the book of Acts is still being written? There might have been 28 chapters, but how many know there's a 29th chapter still being written, and that's your life? The Bible tells us that he says in Matthew chapter 28, listen, the gospel is, the church is about going. It's about advancing. It's about being on mission. It's about moving forward. It's interesting, the Holy Spirit fell in Jerusalem, but he told them, don't forget Caesarea Philippi. The Holy Spirit fell on them in Jerusalem, but he said, don't forget the church is called to go. I believe that's what he was doing. He took them to this place of filth, if you will, and he was trying to put a heart of compassion on the inside of these guys, because one day they were going to have to carry the gospel after the Holy Spirit fell on their life. Your life is a mission. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Acts chapter 1 says it this way, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The church is called to go. He says that we are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What is a witness? If you're called into court as a witness, what is a witness? A witness is you're just going to tell everybody what you have seen and what you know. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing extra. You're simply going to tell them what you see and what you know. They just tell a story. That's what witnesses do. And today I want you to know that during baptism, you're going to hear stories today. You're going to actually hear witnesses of the resurrection, just like it was in the book of Acts, and just like it was back when the apostles walked the earth. Today is a day that you're going to hear a story about somebody that's going to witness for Jesus. They're going to tell their story of going from darkness to light. Listen, witnesses of I once was blind, but now I see. Witnesses, I once was in darkness, but now I'm in the light. God says, I've called you to be a church that goes. If you're truly founded on the rock of Jesus, and Christianity is not just a saying for you, and it's not just I'm a Christian kind of thing. No, if you take the mission seriously and your life is built upon the rock of who Jesus is, you can't help but go. It's a byproduct of having a relationship with Christ, of being a witness. You have a story to tell. God today, he wants you to understand that there is a story on the inside of each and every one of you. Some of you came out of this and now you're no longer that. You came out of darkness and now you live in the light of the Lord. And so God wants you to know today that the church is called to go. And finally, the church that is founded upon the rock can change the world. Let me say that very clearly. Don't put your faith in anything else but Jesus. Don't put your faith in a government. Don't put yourself, we're in an election year. Don't put your faith in a political figure. Don't just put your faith there. Don't just think, well, if we get this guy or we get that guy, everything's going to be all right. Let me just get all up in your business for a minute. The Bible tells us this thing's going to get worse and it's going to get worser. But here's what I want you to understand, that in the middle of the darkness, like Caesarea Philippi, it doesn't matter who's in office. If Jesus is king of your life, you're going to make it. You're going to do exceedingly, abundantly. And God's going to use his church in this season. Come on, people's worried about money and worried about things being supplied for. Man, he brought manna. Come on, somebody. He brought manna to the children of Israel. Every morning there was manna at the door. You know what manna is? What is it? They would come out of their tent every morning and God would supply for them manna. The word manna means what is it? They'd walk out and be like, what is it today? Right? Come on, somebody. How many, if I was back then, I'd be like, Lord, you said manna, I want manicotti. Come on, somebody. Can I be specific today? Manicotti. Manna burgers, manna pizza, manna chicken, manicotti. But God will provide for you. You don't have nothing to fear. The only people that are fearful in the day and age in which we live is Jesus isn't the center of their life. If you understand who Jesus is, you have nothing to fear. We don't put our faith in anything else. We don't put it in a system. We don't put it in the world. We put it in one place, and that's Jesus. Because Jesus said that I'm going to build my church that's going to change the world, change somebody's world. How does the church change the world? How does the church change the world that is around them? Number one, you got to see the need. Come on, man. A church that's selfish will never see the need of broken people in Caesarea Philippi. There are people all over this region that represent the brokenness of Caesarea Philippi. There's people all over this area, people that you work with, people in your own family that are filled with brokenness today. And we walk by the need all the time. If the church is going to be a group that's going to change the world and we're founded upon Jesus as the rock, we have to see the need. I wrote it down this way. Who is near to you but far from God? If we're called to change the world and we're called to change someone's world, we have to see the need. The Bible says in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, there was something about seeing the crowds of brokenness that he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd is what Matthew says. So we have to see the need. Secondly, we have to feel the urgency. I don't think we feel the urgency yet. There's an urgency right now where we have to understand that, man, life isn't forever. The Bible tells us that life is like a vapor. We're here one minute and gone the next. Like we started at this date and we end at this date and there's a dash in the middle. The question is, what do you do with your dash when you're here upon the earth, right? So there's an urgency. We have to understand that this is not just another Sunday. We have to understand that your life is not just another life. We have to understand that we're trusting God, that we'll have Sundays where we're believing. I heard somebody that they were just like, I can't wait to see 25 and 30 and 40 people come to the front to say yes to Christ. Come on, how many's in on that? I believe God's going to do that. I believe God's going to start to save people by the masses. We have to feel the urgency, though. the urgency of the day, the urgency in which we live in. Listen, if you're going to be the church, you can't be selfish. You can't change the world by being selfish. Why? Because people will inconvenience you. Come on, how many know people's problems are going to inconvenience you? Come on, here, daggone it, they called me again. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to inconvenience you. They're going to mess with your schedule. But listen to me. Don't set that aside. Feel the urgency that there are people, even in this room today. Some of you in this room today haven't made a decision for Christ. There's an urgency for you to understand that there is an eternity awaiting every single one of us. And we have to feel the urgency. John 9:4 says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. We have to feel the urgency if we're going to change the world. And finally, we got to be the solution. The scripture tells us God calls us out of darkness and into his light. We are the group of people. The church is the group of people, not a building, that's called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So we have to be the solution. Matthew chapter 5 says this, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? Why do we be the solution? Why do we allow Jesus to use us in this moment? Is that they may see your good works and your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, there's no such thing as a secret Christian. He says that they will see your good works. It's put on display. The witnesses of Jesus in the hour. So we become the solution. The church does. What kind of church is he building? He's building a church on the rock of who he is. He's building the church on a church that understands that the church is for everyone. He's building a church that he understands that understands that we are called to go. He's building a church that understands that we're going to have to step across the line, feel the urgency. We're going to have to be the solution. We're going to have to allow Jesus to use us in order to change someone's world. The church I see, I'm going to read you what I say the church is what I see. The called out ones, the ones that have been called out to make a difference in the earth. See, our vision is to know God, find community, and make a difference for every person that comes through the door. How many know it's not enough just to raise a hand in salvation? That's the first step. Next steps are transformational moments. That we want you to know God. We want you to find a small group. We want you to make a difference and start bringing your friends. I'm telling you right now, this is the greatest Easter when it came to bringing. People brought people from all over this Easter. People today, you got invited by a friend today. They're becoming bringers. But I want to read you what I see the church as. Is number one, and I'm just going to read this, so I'm going to kind of say this, is the church I see a church hungry to know God. I see a church that's passionate in worship, free from the opinion and fear of man. I see a church so attractive and so refreshing that the building struggles to contain the increase. Come with me, church. Are you ready? Here's what he says. I see a church so attractive and so refreshing that the building struggles to contain the increase. I see a church where miracles still happen physically, emotionally, mentally, not only on Sundays, but at home and at work and on the street. I see a church where the people have found a relationship with God instead of religion. Where living for God is no longer an obligation, it's a heartfelt desire. I see a church where people are continually taking their next steps in their spiritual journey. I see a church full of people who are growing in God and discovering that God wants to use them to make a difference. I see a church where God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things by serving the people of our region so that they in turn would open their hearts to God. I see a church so compassionate that people are drawn from impossible situations into a loving, friendly circle of hope where answers are found and acceptance is given. I see a church so committed to raising and training and empowering the next generation. I see a church who never stops searching for the lost people because God never stops searching for us. I see a people so kingdom-minded that they will count whatever the cost and pay whatever the price to see revival and awakening sweep our region. The church I see realizes that none of this can happen on our own ability. Instead, I see a church where they are the church that is committed to prayer and dependent on the Holy Spirit. I see a church where Jesus is famous and all the glory goes to God. That's the church I see. That's the church he's building. That's the church he's building in this season. It's his church in this season. I see a church where Jesus is famous. Some of you in this place today, in this moment, have never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Today you came, maybe you're here to celebrate somebody for water baptism. Maybe you came in here today and you've got a lot of things going on in your life and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life today. Maybe you've come in or maybe you've walked away from God and maybe you don't have a relationship with God and you once knew him, but you walked away from him. We had 17 people last week say yes to Christ that went from light to darkness. I believe there's some of you in this room today that need to make that decision. You've come in this room today and you're like, I got here and I just got here. Like you in this moment came and it's like you're on kind of the last straw. You've been through a ton. You've experienced life in so many facets. And today you walk in this room and you have problems. And there's things going on. And you've been plagued by addiction. You've been plagued by the past and things of this world. I want you to know today, there's only one answer. You can look wherever you want. There's only one answer. It's not found in alcohol. It's not found in drugs. It's not found in relationships. It's not found in finding success and climbing the corporate ladder. It's not found in any of that. The only place it's found is in Jesus. He's the fulfillment of your soul today. And some of you in this room, I want you to know today's going to be a brand new day for you. You're going to say yes to Christ today. And today we're going to pray with you and we're going to celebrate. All of heaven's going to rejoice. Our church is going to rejoice today because today's the day that you say yes to Christ. In a few minutes, we're going to go out back and we're going to celebrate people's decision to go public with their faith. But before we do, I want to give each and every one of you an opportunity. With every head up and every eye open and everybody looking around, you say, well, Pastor, why do you do that? It's because we're a big family around here. We make family decisions. You know, the Bible says it this way, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, you and your whole household. He says that he wants you to declare him before men and he'll declare you before his Father, which is in heaven. So if you're in this place today with everybody looking around and every head up, if you're in this place today, you say, Pastor, today I need to come home to God. I need to make that fresh decision to say yes to Christ today. And I want to make him the Lord of my life. If that's you in this room, on the count of three, contemplate this moment. This is a life or death situation. Eternity rests today. And today can be the day that you say yes. So if you're in this place, on the count of three, if you do me a favor, if you just slip up your hand, and all I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for you today. So if you're in this place, you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. On the count of three, just raise up your hand. One, two, three. All across this place. If you're in this place, you say, that's me. I need Christ. Anybody in this room say, yes, I need Jesus. Anybody at all say, I need Jesus Christ. What? I see a hand. Yes, sir. I see your hand right there. Who else will go with this one and said, I need to know Jesus today? This isn't a forced thing. This is a decision for you. You can say yes to Christ today. Jesus will change your life forever. Who else? Somebody else. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? We'll give you one more opportunity to say yes to Christ today. In the middle. Come on. I just feel like there might be one or two more people in this room because you came in here expecting religion, but God's after a relationship with you. And some of you in this room think, I came to church today and I'm just coming to church and I came to celebrate and all those sorts of things. But listen, man, some of you in this room, there's one or two of you that are at the end of your rope and life's been hard. And it's been rough and you ain't been able to figure out how to experience a brand new life. The only way to experience it is through Jesus. So I'm going to give you one more opportunity to say yes to Christ. Anybody in this room? besides the one that already did. Okay. For you guys that raised your hand, we do something around here and we want to celebrate what God's doing in your life today. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray together. You're bold enough to raise your hand in front of a group of people that maybe you don't even know who they are. But today we want to let you know that God loves you and he has a plan for you. So you two guys, and you, if you raised your hand, will you stand up, come up here and meet me at the front? Come on. Come on. And if you were invited by somebody, if somebody invited you, come on up here, guys. We'll meet right here. Come on up here. Who invited you? Who? Taylor did? If you invited somebody, come on up here. If you know these guys, come on up here. Who? How'd you get here? Oh, she invited you. Come on, watch out now. Okay, awesome. Awesome. Well, we're going to pray today. And the Bible says this, says all of heaven rejoices. Like when one person says yes to Christ, if you would have been the only one that raised your hand, the Bible says all of heaven rejoices. That's why we celebrate, right? Because today's a day where you're going to go now from a place of living in sin to now living into a place of light where Jesus now has the opportunity to change who you are. I see you, bro. I don't know what life's been like, but dude, I see you. Come here. Good, man. It's all right. That's the Holy Spirit. It's good. Just so you know, man, the moment of decision. And so I'm going to pray over you. And as I pray over you, then I'm going to pray with you. Okay, so let me just close your eyes and bow your heads. We'll pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for these today, Lord, that said yes to you. Thank you today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is moving in their lives today. Thank you, Lord, for transformation in each and every one of them today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for a brand new start and a brand new day today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is moving in their lives today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, God, right now in this moment, is taking them from darkness to light at their confession of who you are. So will you guys just pray this out loud with me? Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me, to raise from the dead for me. I ask you to come in my heart. I ask you to make me a new creature. Old things pass away, and all things become new. Thank you today for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church. Before you guys go, just really quick, I have a card I want you to take. I want you to fill it out. Fill it out. What it does is, just so I can follow up with you, okay? At the back, we have a box for you. It's called the I Have Decided box. This is an amazing box. In this box, what this is, there's no pizza or anything in it. But inside there's a book. It's called Following Jesus. It's the basic book of learning how to follow Christ. That's in here. There's a brand new Bible in here for you. There's some other stuff in there. I don't know. There might be a piece of candy or something. I'm not sure. But there's a journal in there as well. It's for you to write, okay? The Bible's very basic. It's very simple and allows you to begin the journey of following Christ. What's your name? AJ. New day, brother. Seriously. New day for you, man. Today's a brand new day for you. God, and I don't know what's been going on. I don't know what's been happening. I don't know where you've been running. I don't know what you've been doing. But guess what? God receives you just the way you are. It don't matter. Because the church is for everyone. The Bible says in Luke 15 that the father ran off the porch to meet the son that had been living this crazy life. And there's no judgment or condemnation. And when you leave this place today, I want to encourage you this way. The enemy will get you in the car and be like, that's the dumbest decision you ever made. I want you to know that's the enemy. That's not God. Right? And so we take authority over that now, that you'll not have to worry about that, that you'll know in your heart of hearts that Jesus is Lord of your life, and you're going to begin to live for him and walk with him, and no more heaviness and no more depression and no more anxiety and no more wondering. Today, the band that's on your mind breaks, and today you begin a brand new life today in Jesus' name. So do me a favor.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Be sure to connect with us on social media, the RLC app, and online at livereallife.com.